morning. Great to be invited to come back and share from the pulpit. When Tom called and invited me, I said, well, you know, I don't go around preaching anymore. I said, I've done that. I turned 80, and I just don't feel as comfortable. But I said, I do a lot of weddings and funerals. Same thing, only a slow death. You'll get it. But I do. As a matter of fact, I have a wedding on Saturday at Marist Grove. They're both 65. They came to see me for marriage counseling, and we sat and talked. And I said, I'll be very happy to come to Marist Grove to officiate at your wedding, but I'm not coming back for a baptism. A while back, the superintendent, when I first retired, 15 years ago, when I first retired, the superintendent put me on a list as available preachers. Well, you get a call from all the size churches all throughout that district. And finally, when I made the decision not to do it anymore, I called Dawn and said, you're going to have to take me off that list because I feel bad saying no to so many people. So she took me off the list, and I still get calls. But anyway, it's like the priest in Dublin was walking around, and he met a couple that he had married 2 years earlier, and he said, do you have any little ones? And they said, no, no little ones yet. He said, well, I'm on my way to Rome, and I'm going to light a candle for you. And they said, oh, thank you. About 5 years later, he's walking out of the church, and there is the mother with the baby carriages. And so he said, oh, how many children? She said, well, right after we saw you, we found out we were pregnant with twins. And after that, a year later, we had triplets. Well, then where is your husband? He went to Rome to blow out that candle. So you have to get the message to the top person. I know you're doing a lot of construction. It seems like every time we come back, there's another part of the sanctuary or facility that is going under some kind of renovation. And it's like in the churches years ago when you would come in over the door where you entered, in the sanctuary especially, it would say something like, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then I see that they're having some work done on the nursery area, which will be so convenient there. It'll be wonderful. But I would like to make the suggestion to the building committee. I can do that now. And I would like to ask them if they would put a sign over the nursery. Something from 1 Corinthians 15, 51. It says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And that's scriptural. Listen then as I read to you from Romans. On the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? And from him and through him and to him all things are. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But he continues in the next chapter to say, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed, we're coming to the title of the sermon, Jello and Butterflies, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith. The measure of faith, not your height, not your weight, not your age, not your color, the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. When Tom called me to get the information for the bulletin, like the hymn numbers and the scripture, and he said in the sermon title, I said, Jell-O and Butterflies. Well, he chuckled and laughed. He said, really? I said, really? So I brought the scripture to him, and he said, oh, now I understand. But he still laughed. Well, tell them that none of you laughed when I said Jell-O and Butterflies. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed. The scripture says, be changed from the inside out. From the inside out. Over our 57 years of ministry, Peggy and I were invited to many, many, many potluck suppers. Now, I don't know if the churches still do that as much as they used to. And in the 70s and the 80s, they had so many. We were 13 years in Havertown, and we always were having another potluck supper. And one of the most favorite things for the women to bring was a Jell-O mold. We saw Jell-O molds of every color and size and shape. We saw ingredients put in a Jell-O mold that we never knew would be able to go together with the Jell-O. Some of them were really good. And then there were others that, well, I was told, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. They weren't our favorites. But it seems to be that they enjoyed the fact that it would gather things together. If we waited too long for the dinner to start, there was a little bit of sagging and a little moisture around the edge of the dish. But it was conforming, taking apart these things together to make something that they wanted to be special and delicious. We are conformed in so many ways. Just in the fashion world, I don't know about you, but you can just see it. People say they knew by something that somebody wore that, oh, that was out of the 80s. Now, in the 20s, there were the flappers. I'm sure none of you wore those costumes, but there were in the 20s, there were the flappers, all kinds of things that identified that decade. When I was, I guess, around 14 or 15, what was popular was peg pants. Now, does anybody here remember peg pants? One, two, okay, three, four. Don't be shy. You're dating yourself, but that's okay. And peg pants, what they were really baggy pants that had to be made for you, and then the cuff was a small, that was where it was pegged, gathered together. And some you had to take your shoe off, sometimes you could hardly get your foot through, but you were in style. That's what was required, they thought. And also, you got a high rise. A high rise was you had a belt, and then above that material, 1 to 2 inches. So you had peg pants with a high rise, you really were in. I only had one pair of those, and I look back now, and I think that I look more like the Pillsbury Doughboy than somebody that was really in fashion. It's necessary for us as Christians to realize that we must listen to God and not just to people. To be changed from the inside out means that there is a great difference in who you are and how you live, and how you are identified by other people. Sometimes it really takes courage to be different in a good way. And as I was looking at being conformed and transformed and changed and staying the same, the more I looked at the scripture, I could see, and reading other areas of scripture, I could see how meaningful it was to combine those ideas with the ideas of anger and love. The scripture says, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And in Psalms, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil." Anger takes so much more energy. It wears people out. In Proverbs, it says, "You will be consumed by your anger." And then, to be changed from the inside out, we have the quality and experience of love. We could list so many scriptures about God's love for us, whether it's 1 Corinthians 13 or many, many, many others. Just read John's letters, not the gospel, the letters of John, and try to count how many times he mentions love. Love is life-changing. To be able to love someone sincerely and care for them and want for them, it takes far less energy than being mad at them or angry with them. The love that we experience through Jesus Christ does change our lives. There was a gospel hymn years ago that was very popular, and people, especially, they thought it was sort of contemporary because it wasn't out of the hymnal. Now, you know those things, that how things change. Before you know it, you're going to have screens in the front of the church. Things change. The first verse of that is, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and the angels' song." It was a second verse, and for years there were only two verses to this, until when a man passed away who had spent most of his life in an asylum, hardly communicating with people, but he had his radio and he would turn it to the Christian station and hear the music. Time after time after time, he heard the love of God and the two verses that touched his heart. When he passed away, they were cleaning out this small room where he existed. And right at the side of the bed, there was etched this, "The love of God," verse 3. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every one a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and the angel's song. My challenge for you in the days to come is when you see a butterfly, watch it carefully, because God's saying, I love you.